Welcome into the Hateful Hitman Fantasy Football Podcast. This is Chris Strasbaugh. Thank you for joining me. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Are you in? Are you out? Playoffs start this coming week. We'll talk about it. Welcome into the show. And welcome in. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving weekend. It was very good. I'm always thankful. It's my favorite holiday. Not just because there's football on for like four solid days, but it's just always been my favorite holiday. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Fantasy playoffs start this week. We've got bye week teams. Take a breath. Get your stuff ready. Maybe beat the waiver wire for next week when you are on it again. If you're in any leagues where you was able to qualify for a bye week, congratulations. If you're in leagues where you play 14 weeks, because you only play four teams in the playoffs, you still got one more week to go. I'm actually in a league where we play 17 weeks, and you draft the playoffs, and you draft every week. It was really cool. I made the playoffs in that league last year. Got beaten in the first round because I put too much stock in the Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton combo, and it stunk and let me down, so I got beat. But it was pretty neat. I went down again in the league where I was 11-1. Started out thinking I was going to have a chance. I went into last night's game needing 30 points out of Dalvin Cook, Chris Carson, and Tyler Lockett, thinking for sure I'll get this one out of the way. I'll be 12-1 going into the playoffs. Lo and behold, Dalvin Cook gets hurt. Chris Carson didn't do squat. Or not Chris Carson. Tyler Lockett didn't do squat. Carson had a pretty good game. And I end up only scoring 20, lost by 10. It's a bummer. Still got the number one seed in the playoffs. Not a first-round bye, but just because there's no byes in that league. But looking forward to winning this league. I hope I can win it. I was talking to a guy, really nervous. This is the league I've been in the longest. Probably working on probably about 17 years in this league, and I've never won it. So I'd like to bring home the trophy in that one. If I could win that one, that would be a successful season in my fantasy weeks. Did, however, bring home another college championship over the weekend. Thought I was dust. Thought I didn't have a chance of coming back. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase brought me all the way back. And then Cam Akers brought it home for the win. Able to win my second consecutive college fantasy title. That's awesome. I wasn't even mad that the Noles got beat by the Gators when Cam Akers broke that 50-yard touchdown run. That kicked down the door, and I was able to jump ahead of the guy, and that put me in the lead to stay in the college championship. I wasn't even mad that the Noles got the crap kicked out of them by the Gators after I realized I was going to win a college championship. And I think the reason is that because I always knew going into this game that the Noles were going to lose. You know, every fan hopes that they keep it competitive and they just hang in there, and the rivalry is enough to see the victory. Well, they hung in there for a little bit. Okay, they did. But in the end, I'm never going to say Florida was a better team. I'm just going to say that the Noles ran out of time to get better throughout the course of that game. We'll leave it at that. The search continues for their head coach. We still sit and wait. Everybody in Florida State Nation is still anxiously waiting who the coach is going to be. I tweeted this out earlier today on Twitter. No matter who the coach is, whoever the guy that they hire is, wants to be at FSU. Okay, so that right there, I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt right off the bat, because he wanted to come in here. He wanted to take over the problems. He wants to try to right the ship and get this team back to a blue-chip powerhouse that it's known for and is supposed to be. So whoever that is, whether it's, you know, Bob Stoops, which is, you know, kind of doubtful, you know, Matt Campbell from Iowa State, I hear he's interested. He's really in the mix, I guess. Matt Rhule from Baylor is another one they've been talking about. There was a chance it was going to be P.J. Fleck. Nobody knows. That's what's crazy about Twitter and social media is that everybody wants to get the scoop on who the coach is going to be. And, you know, they know about as much of it as anybody else does. Okay, they're keeping this real tight-lipped at FSU for whatever the reason, and I do not know what it is. It could be respect to Odell Higgins, you know, as the reason why they're not releasing any names right now on who it's going to be, but you would think that it has to happen soon with the early signing period coming up right around the corner. And, you know, when Jimbo left, and, you know, I've said this before, I thought they hired Taggart rather quickly. I didn't think that they did their due diligence and, you know, really searched for a head coach. But they named him pretty quick. You know, he was in place, you know, for the bowl game and all that. So it has to happen soon. So whoever it is wants to be at FSU, wants to come in and fix the program, get it turned around. They have my support right off the bat. I don't even know who it is. As long as it's not Urban Meyer or Lane Kiffin, in which case I would probably stab myself in the arm with a really dull spoon. Some more college stuff. If you're talking about rivalry week this week, my beloved Noles did go down to the Gators. Ohio State romped Michigan, rocked them to sleep. If you're a Ohio State fan or you're an Ohio State, you know, alumni or, you know, a Buckeye in general, got to love your chances now, okay, because now they get Wisconsin again. And a team that they handled pretty confidently, you know, back in the season. Wisconsin was able to get past Minnesota, and I wanted it to be Ohio State-Minnesota. Just that there would be an aspect of a team they haven't played yet and the allure out there that, you know, Minnesota may bring something to the table that Ohio State hasn't seen and isn't ready for. Okay, with Wisconsin, you're going to get Taylor. That's their game plan. And it didn't work before, so they better come up with something else if they think it's going to work a second time. So, you know, Ohio State wins this game. They're in the college football playoff, and, you know, deservingly so. Okay, LSU, I said this before a couple weeks ago, it needs to be an LSU-OSU final. Because other than that, we're not going to get the true best team in college football. Okay, Bama went down in the Iron Bowl. They're out, thank goodness, finally. You know, so we're going to have a team up in there in the top four that maybe we haven't seen in a while. So LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and could it be little old Utah out of the Pac-12 making an appearance in the college football playoff? Talked about it a little bit last week. I think it'd be great for that conference. It'd be great for college football. Somebody different for a change. Okay, how cool would it be? I don't, like I said, probably going to lose, but representing the conference in the Big 12, out of the Big 12, or the Pac-12, out of the Pac-12 in the college football playoff would be neat for Utah. And I don't have an edit on this, so that's going to not be edited. So I apologize in advance because that was terrible. Heisman watch, okay. If we're talking Heisman right now and you vote today, it's Joe Burrow. Chase Young, they held him in check. Michigan held him in check. Okay, he didn't destroy that entire game. Okay, Chase Young deserves to be there. We talked about this last week. He deserves to be an invited, you know, to the Heisman. But as of right now, it's got to be Joe Burrow. The guy has just put up phenomenal numbers. He went over, I can't remember, I think it was either 4,000 or 5,000 yards in that game over the weekend. Put him in at the end of the game against A&M. Put him in. Let him throw one pass. and then pulled him out. Called a timeout and pulled him out like you do your seniors at the end of their games, at the, their last game as basketball, where you call a timeout and you pull your seniors off one at a time or you take them all out at the same time. Did that for Joe Burrow. Okay. What a great story he's been for LSU, for college football this year. And, you know, helped me win a college championship. So I'm obviously rooting for him wherever he goes. Got him in our Devy League. I picked him up throughout the season. So I've already got him going into the Devy League, into the NFL next year. So, you know, as of right now, my Heisman vote has to go to Joe Burrow. And, you know, it's not even really close anywhere else. NFL recap week 13. We're going to start on Thanksgiving Day, and we'll just go down the list here in order. We'll start with the Bears and the Lions. Very entertaining game. The Lions fought hard in this game, and the Bears were just able to really just pull it out in the end. Trubisky had a fantastic game. Okay, you look at the numbers, and you're like, okay, this is what you want out of Trubisky all the time. 338, three touchdowns, and you take the one pick because he threw three touchdowns and went over 300 yards. But consistently, you're not going to see this. You're not going to see it all the time. The one pick, I think, was Darius Slay, and that dude's good. He picked off a phenomenal pass. It was a great athletic pick. You really can't fault Trubisky for that. He played a really good game. We had a David Montgomery sighting, 75 yards on the ground. And he caught a touchdown pass, which really helped your fantasy day. But the guy I want to talk about is a guy who I picked up in two leagues, who actually I drafted in several leagues last year. And I dropped him in the offseason just because I didn't have any room for him, because I wasn't really sure, you know. But these last couple of games, Anthony Miller, the second-year wideout for Chicago, 9 catches, 140 yards, being targeted a lot here over the past couple of weeks. Maybe it's because he's getting healthy. Maybe it's because he's getting his rhythm in the offense or whatever. But, you know, I picked him up, and there's a chance he plays in some of my lineups this weekend in my fantasy leagues where I'm in the playoffs looking for a win. Allen Robinson, 8 for 86 and a touchdown, continues to have really good fantasy numbers throughout the course of the season. So, you know, a good game by the Bears and a win that they really, really needed against a division opponent. Other side of the ball, you know, Detroit played well enough to win this game. They just didn't do it. Kenny Golladay, fantastic game. Marvin Jones, a good game, found the end zone. Looks like T.J. Hockenson hit the IR for the rest of the season in a somewhat less than impressive rookie season. But like I've always said, takes tight ends a little bit of time to get moving in this league. So, you know, it was a interesting game. It wasn't a sleeper by any means. So it was a good game. Now, this next game, we'll go to the Bills and the Cowboys. And traditionally, if the Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving, I watched this game with my dad, and we talked about it. We've been watching Cowboys games, you know, since I was a little kid. We've talked about this during the game. If the Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving, usually the rest of their season isn't very good. It's like a bubble gets popped, and all the air goes out of it, and they don't have anything left. And it's like, well, you know, you're down to the end of the season now, okay? And now you get to turn around and play again Thursday night against the Bears in Chicago, I believe. That's not an easy task. You know, Dallas is doing everything they can to not win this division. They have got to be better. I mean, they have just got to be better. Jerry Jones is absolutely right. With the talent on that roster, there is no way that team should be 6-6. I mean, they just shouldn't. Dak had a good day fantasy-wise. Okay, he won me a week in the league where I'm tied for first. 355, 2 touchdowns. Okay, I don't know about that against Chicago. In Chicago, in the cold. Hopefully it's not raining, because if it's raining, holy crap. But, you know, Zeke, 71 yards on the ground. That was working for him originally. and it got away from them. Hooper showed back up. Gallup kind of took a day off, 3 for 63, not great. You know, Witten caught a touchdown pass. Old Jason Witten isn't the guy he used to be, but he's still enough to get you 6 for 42 and a touchdown. If you started him anywhere, doing like maybe had Hooper hurt or Everett hurt or somebody was out for you, you know, he got you, he had a decent day for you, fantasy wise. For the Bills, you know, you have a really nice floor with Josh Allen just because of his ability to run the ball. 10 for 43 and he ran one in. Threw for 231 and he threw a touchdown pass. Had a great day against the Dallas secondary and the Dallas defense, which is pretty good. Okay, he went into Dallas on Thanksgiving. It wasn't too big for him. And they went in there and got to win. You know, I like this guy. But the heartbreaker here is Cole Beasley. Okay, and my dad and I said it best. Dad said it best. Anybody that Dallas lets go, okay, when they come back to play Dallas, they're on their A game. Okay, and they got a chip on their shoulder, and they want to put it on the Cowboys, and Beasley did. 6 for 110 and a touchdown. He came in. He hurt his old team. The team that didn't want him. Did you watch his press conference afterwards? He said, it's just nice to be somewhere where, you know, I'm wanted and you know, team wants, you know, to use me and use my abilities. Really put it to the Cowboys. Saints, Falcons, you got to be honest with you, didn't watch all this game. Watched bits and pieces of it. I was getting leftovers and kind of moving into, you know, I was about done and tired for the day. We started so early Thursday morning cooking. Saints get out of this with 10-2 now, 26-18. Really modest day from Michael Thomas, 6 for 48. Didn't kill you just in the PPR leagues, but, you know, really modest day. Taysom Hill, another touchdown. That guy's like a fantastic all-around utility player, not just a quarterback. Let's go to the game of the week. Maybe, possibly, a Super Bowl preview. These two teams could very easily meet again in the Super Bowl. The Ravens and San Francisco, if you watch this game, it was really good. Came down to a last-second field goal by Baltimore. Got the win. I got to tell you, I was happy about it. I don't like the Niners. Never have. I'm a Cowboys fan. I hate the Niners. But you've got to admire what Lamar Jackson is doing this week. I talked about this season. I talked about it last week. He's doing things this year that are like video games, okay? His running ability and his able to juke and move and run and stuff. It's fantastic to watch. I was totally blown away, totally surprised at what he's done this season. You know, congratulations to the Ravens winning a very big game, okay? Now the question is, can they stay the course, see it through, win their division, get in the playoffs, go through the playoffs, and meet San Fran again in a Super Bowl rematch? How fun would that be? Raheem Mostert, if he's on any waiver wire, you need to pick him up right now. Go get him. Not right now. Wait till I'm done. Then go get Raheem Mostert. If he's available anywhere, put him on your team. Put him in your lineup this week. Okay? Breida's still hurt. A little banged up. Coleman doesn't look good at all. Okay? Mostert, 146 and a touchdown. He looks to be the best back in San Francisco. Okay? If we go by that, what they call the eye test, the eye test is hands down, he's the best back in San Francisco. If he's available in any league, go get him and play him. Maybe a league winner for your fantasy leagues this week or this season, rest of season. Oh, it's happened. It's happened. Whew. For a minute, I thought the Bengals were going to go 0-16. They brought Andy Dalton back. He is playing like he's his first or second year out of TCU again. He looked phenomenal. He looked like the MVP. Oh, wait. No, he didn't. They won. They beat the Jets 22-6. That has to feel good, okay? Nobody wants to go 0-16. It's a miserable season for the Bengals. Good job to them on getting a win. Dalton looked decent in his return. Still a lack of running game. still hurting them. All in all, I don't like any of their running backs. Don't have faith or trust in any of them. But good win by the Bengals. Good team win. Definitely needed that. They got the Browns coming up, so they can win another one if they play their cards right. It'll be a Battle of Ohio this weekend. Browns-Bengals. Looking forward to that here. Speaking of the Browns, they get beat by the Steelers. Baker Mayfield looked like crap again. Lack of running game once again. But, you know, the passing game, for as bad as Baker looked, you know, Landry looks great. Another good game, 6 for 76. Didn't find the end zone, but, you know, good numbers. Got you double figures in your fantasy leagues. Odell's kind of hanging out in the weeds a little bit. Kareem Hunt caught another touchdown pass. PPR, he's probably a reliable flex. I don't know. I have him in a league where I picked him up to get some depth. I don't know if I would rely on him. But certainly against the Bengals, you know, why not? With Chubb 16 for 58, obviously got most of the carries, but Kareem Hunt just looks fresher because he was suspended for most of the season. So, you know, he's not a bad play. I'm still a little leery because I think right now he's a little touchdown dependent. Redskins, Panthers, and was it the Panthers losing to the Redskins 29-21 that cost Riverboat Ron his job today? Or was it just that they've seen enough over the past couple of weeks to think, yeah, we're going to give him one more chance, and yeah. Anyway, that was breaking news earlier this afternoon. Panthers have fired Ron Rivera. Perry Fuel will serve as interim head coach until they can probably find somebody else. Coaching for the Panthers, their next head coach, may come out of the college ranks. I know there are several college coaches that NFL teams are eyeing and wanting to give a shot, you know, in the NFL. And, you know, there may be some college coaches that will only leave these teams in college for a shot at the NFL. So, you know, be interesting to see who the Panthers bring in. Whoever it is, I hope it doesn't affect Christian McCaffrey. Although he didn't have a game where it just blew you out of your seat. 14 for 44 on the ground, not great at all. Saved your day in PPR with 7 for 58 through the air, which he does. He does that consistently, and he consistently is going to get you double figures. I don't care who the coaching is. I don't care who the quarterback is. He's just that good. So, you know, hopefully the coach comes in and doesn't screw up something, you know, and say, hey, we're gonna use Christian McCaffrey as a decoy, and we're gonna make other people beat us or help us beat us. You know what I'm saying? Some people come in and kind of overlook it or overcook the egg. And like, well, if we don't use McCaffrey here, and they're going to sleight of hand, you know, tricks, sleight of hand. I hope not, because McCaffrey is good, and anybody who comes in and messes with that is going to really screw up the balance of fantasy football for sure. Bucks, Jags, the Buccaneers got a very needed win, okay, 28-11. It's kind of a defensive. The defense kind of won the day for Tampa Bay. The rookie, Devin White, man, he had a pick. He had a scoop and score. And that kind of got put it to the Jags and kind of got the Buccaneers off and rolling, you know, early in that game. Jameis, 268, no touchdowns. That stunk. But no picks either. So, I mean, it was good and bad. But the defense lifted him up. The running game still poop. You know, when Winston's your second leading rusher on the team for the week, you're just not getting it. You're not getting it. It's terrible. They need to address the running back situation in the offseason. And the whole quarterback thing, man, you know, look, 268 for Winston. I don't think the quarterback's the problem. Sure, he throws interceptions. That's known. That's no secret. Well documented. But I don't think that he's the problem. And it isn't because he's in Florida State. Okay, I've said before many times, he's not my favorite Knoll. I mean, but who else are you going to get? Are you going to bring in a rookie? Okay, I don't think Joe Burrow is going to fall to you, because you're working on flirting in playoffs, playoff contention for the Bucs right now. I mean, technically, mathematically, still in playoff contention, 5-7. Okay, so Joe Burrow isn't going to fall to him as a replacement for Winston. So who are you going to get? You're gonna take another one of those quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, who's, you know, not looking fantastic in college. Looks like he needs some work. You know, I don't know where else you're going to go. You're not going to bring in a free agent, because if you bring in a free agent that's worth anything, he wouldn't be a free agent. He'd be playing football someplace. So I don't think Winston's the problem. I think getting a solid running game in place, harnessing in the turnovers, minimizing them, you know, Winston could be very productive. Find a running back and a few little tweaks, and this team is not bad at all. They got receivers everywhere. I mean, Perryman led the team 5 for 87. Okay, Evans and Godwin kind of took a backseat this week, and they still had four catches each. You know, I just don't think it's Winston. I think there's other things in place, and I think that Bruce Arians is building on Winston, and I think we see him back next year in Tampa. I really do. Rams, Cardinals, let's just say Rams. Rams game, that's about it. Jared Goff, one guy asked me, he said, do I play golf or do I play Brady? I said, you play golf. I said, there's no way Jared Goff can have that bad of a game again as he did last week. He said, okay. Do I play golf or do I play Deshaun Watson? I said, Deshaun Watson against New England. Goff against Arizona. There's your answer. He played Jared Goff. Jared Goff goes for 424 and two touchdowns. And Deshaun Watson, he wasn't too shabby either. Had Jared Goff had a bad game and Deshaun Watson went off against the Patriots, I'd have felt bad. But it worked out. Jared Goff had a really nice bounce back game. Todd Gurley found the end zone. Robert Woods came to life. 13 catches on like 14 targets. Where's that been all season long? Holy crap. Cooper Kupp found the end zone. Tyler Higbee found the end zone. Fantastic get-right game for the Rams. On the other side of the ball, you had a rushing touchdown by Kyler Murray, and that's all we need to talk about. Chiefs smoked the Raiders. Kind of saw that coming. Carr is just he's kind of falling off here, okay? He's tailing off at the end of the season, which he seems to do just about every year. Broncos beat the Chargers. And I think we've seen the demise of Phillip Rivers coming down, okay? Obviously, he's getting up in years. The last four games, he just hasn't looked himself. Used to for the past, I don't know what, 4 or 5 years, you can count on Phillip Rivers, 300, 2 to 3 touchdowns, and he helps win you games week in and week out because he's going to throw the ball all over the place. Melvin Gordon, 20 carries, 99 yards. That's pretty good. That's 5 yards a carry. That's pretty good day. Didn't find the end zone, but, you know, good day for the most part for Melvin Gordon. I just hope that Rivers doesn't completely just fall off the rails and is just terrible. You know, I mean, the Chargers are 4-8, probably not going to the playoffs this year. And you lost to a 3-win Broncos team that you probably should have beaten. It's bad for the Chargers, it's bad for Rivers, but, you know, maybe the Chargers need to look to, you know, the heir apparent to Phillip Rivers and start going down that path. Because I think we've seen his best days. The Patriots. Texans win 28-22. Scored a little closer than the game actually was. The Patriots came on hot there at the end, which they always seem to do. But, you know, for the most part, you know, like I said a minute ago, Deshaun Watson, this wasn't too big for him, okay? The Patriots came into town, and, you know, it was that big, bad defense. And, you know, Deshaun Watson wasn't scared. You know, he took the bull by the horns. 234, three touchdowns. And if I'm not mistaken, caught a touchdown pass in a really bizarre kind of a trick play where he went around and he flicked the ball behind the line of scrimmage, and then DeAndre Hopkins threw the ball to him for the score. I mean, that was really neat. So, I mean, bonus points for that in some leagues. And, you know, so four total touchdowns for Deshaun Watson against, you know, the Patriots, who, quite frankly, I benched him. In the league where I was 11-1, I benched him. And had I played him, I would have won. But he's had a couple of down games this year and let me down a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, Deshaun Watson has had a fantastic season. And, you know, I was wrong to bench him. Should have kept him in. And, you know, I won't make that mistake again. He's going to be my guy, you know, throughout the playoffs in that league. Especially when we get to our last game. Especially if Dalvin Cook's out for any length of time with a clavicle injury that he suffered against Seattle last night. Now, he did salvage your fantasy day with a touchdown early. Okay, he scored early in the first quarter. I'm thinking, man, if he gets one now and gets one maybe later and then tacks on one in the second half, this could be a fantastic week for Dalvin Cook. But he got hurt. Now, earlier in the week, he was on the injury report with chest issues. So I don't know if that's related to it or what, but he went in right up the middle. Didn't look like he took a hit directly on the shoulder. The ball popped out. They took him off. They said out of precaution. They didn't bring him back in. Not sure I believe that because, you know, he said in a report that they have four important games coming up. He wants to be ready for that. You know, you're in a league, or you're in a division with Green Bay, Chicago. You know, you need to win. You know, I would consider this an important game as well. I mean, time will tell, obviously, but if Dalvin Cook's out for any length of time, my fantasy season is in bad jeopardy because I have him in the playoffs. And out of the 10 leagues I'm in, I'm probably going to make the playoffs in 8 of them. And I have him in all of those. So, yeah. Russell Wilson. And, you know, early in the season, I was on Russell Wilson as the MVP candidate. Okay? He was my front runner for the MVP, actually. 240, two touchdowns last night, threw a pick. Through a pick six, actually. But that's okay. Quarterbacks throw interceptions. That's what they do. That's fine. You know, as of right now, it's Lamar Jackson. Obviously, he's the MVP of the league this season. But you can't take away Russell Wilson's what he does and what he brings to his teams. And what he does. If you watch the game, he was mic'd up last night, okay? And after every score, after every big play, on the sideline, okay, he's the consummate team leader. He's the consummate team captain. Okay, he is the most valuable player on his team. Now, is he the most valuable player in the league? It's to be determined. But he's got to be in the consideration and in the conversation of if Lamar Jackson is 1A, then Russell Wilson is 1B, and I'm not sure that he couldn't be 1A as well. I just root for this guy, okay? He's great for the game. He's great for the league. He keeps himself clean. He does it right on and off the field, okay? Definitely the MVP of his team. could very well be the MVP of this league this year. I wouldn't be mad at either gentleman for winning it. I think it is Lamar Jackson with just the dynamics that he brings to the Ravens, but you know, Russell Wilson has really earned it, and I would love nothing more than to see him get it at the end of the season. Oh, yeah, Thursday night football, Cowboys, Bears, in the Windy City of Chicago. Cowboys come in with they have to win this game. Okay, they got lucky. You know, obviously they lost on Thanksgiving Day, but they got lucky that the Dolphins beat the Eagles, okay, and kept them off, you know, their doorstep. It's going to be cold, okay, because it's cold here in Ohio. It's going to be colder, you know, in Chicago. You know, we've seen Dak can't play in the rain. He doesn't do good. Hostile environment. You know, I'm going to have to play Dak Prescott in the league I'm tied for first, because I don't trust Kyler Murray at this point, and I got Ryan Tannehill. Not a bad play. I think they play the Colts. But I think Dak is going to have to throw the ball in this game, because the Bears are probably going to chew up the running game. It is really a tough call to make. I think I'm going to have to play Dak. And, you know, I may even, like I said earlier, I picked up Anthony Miller in a couple of leagues. I may play Anthony Miller, you know, against this Dallas secondary. Other than that, you know, I don't know. Cohen's kind of tailed off. David Montgomery has kind of come on a little bit here lately. I'm still not playing David Montgomery anywhere that I have him. He's burnt me too many times this year, and if he wants to catch a touchdown, you know, in the end zone there against the Lions on my bench, I'm going to eat that, because I just don't trust him to produce those kinds of things over and over again. So I'm not playing him. Allen Robinson's going to go. Amari Cooper's going to go. If you need a tight end, you know, play Witten. Witten's a good play, again. I mean, he's the one constant on that offense that you can go to, you know, and feel confident about it over and over again. Yeah, he's lost a step. Not the same guy as he was 5-6 years ago, but hey, who is? You know, still enough. Got you a touchdown last week. You know, I don't hate to play if you got to play him for some reason. Injuries. They say Hooper's coming back. Don't know if I'm going to trust him or not. You know, Everett's still kind of banged up. We got injuries in the tight end position. Tight end's very thin. So, you know, if Jason Witten's available and you think you need to play him, throw him in. Because, I mean, if Dak gets in trouble and the Bears come after him, Witten could have 5 or 6 catches, just Dak just getting rid of the ball. So, I don't hate it. DSTs, I think both DSTs are in play. I think Dallas's secondary, or Dallas's linebackers, even without Van Der Esch, can get to the quarterback. Trubisky can scramble, I get that. But I think their defense is good enough to maybe get some sacks, maybe force a fumble, you know, get a recovery or whatever. The Bears' DST is obviously in play, because they're one of the better defenses in the league. So, Bears-Cowboys Thursday night should be a pretty good game. Hopefully the Cowboys show up, and hopefully they make the trip, because, you know, it's win. They got to win, or else, you know, they're going to see their playoff chances go out the window, and the Eagles are going to come up and take it from them. Got a few more minutes. Going to tell you a little sneak peek about the Hateful Hitman show for Season 3. Much more content. I'm going to have to go to a bigger package for the podcast minute-wise, so it's going to be more content, probably longer shows, probably somewhere in the area of an hour, hour and 15 minutes. It's all depending on what, you know, content to bring. New segments. I'm working on new segments for the next season. I'll be in my podcast studio in Season 3. Really looking forward to that. Actually can't wait for that. That's going to be cool. It's completed. Finished it up last week. Started hanging some stuff and moving some stuff over. Those pictures will be available on Twitter at Hateful Hitman and on the Facebook page at the Hateful Hitman Podcast. So, looking forward to that. Other than that, I'm going to get out of here. We got fantasy playoff weeks, people. It's that time of year. It's what we've been waiting on. It's what we've played all these weeks for, worked the waiver wires for, you know, dealt with injuries and holdouts and this and that just to get to the playoffs. Well, here we are. Okay? Take it home. My name is Chris Strasbaugh. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. You can find the show on Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict. Anywhere you listen, I do appreciate it. Get a lot of feedback on the Facebook page and on Twitter. Keep that coming. I appreciate it. Until next time, have a great week. Good luck. Fantasy playoffs. See you next time on the Hitman Show.